interestingly enough, in Sanskrit, there are different words for humility. The basic word for humility is amanipa, which is the word used in this verse, chapter 13, text 8. But there's another word called dainya, which is the word that Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses in his songs about surrender. And that has different implications, very much similar to what we heard Prabhupada say just now. He says, I'm so fallen, I'm so rotten, what is my position to offer you anything? So similarly, in his prayers, Bhaktivinoda Thakur will say, I was within the womb with my mother praying to the Lord that I would worship him when I came out, but when I did come out, all my relatives gathered around me and I forgot about my prayer. And I went to school and I became engrossed in material knowledge and forgot again about Krishna. Then I got to family life and had so many children and responsibilities. Again, Krishna was lost to my mind. And now I am old and in this old and feeble state, I am praying to you. So that's dainya. It's this feeling of wretchedness. Actually, almost affliction or depression. There's another word that is translated as humility in Sanskrit. It's called prashraya. And that's more of the physical exhibition of humility. The Goswamis, when they came to Lord Chaitanya, Rupa and Sanatan, they offered their dandavats with straw between their teeth. And the bowing of the head, the folded hands, this is an expression. A bodily expression of humility. And there's one last word, vinaya. Vinaya refers more to one who is very cultured, who has good breeding. And by their good breeding and culture, they naturally have a humble disposition. But if we turn to the English word, that becomes very fascinating. Because the English word humble is derived from this word humus, which is not to be confused with hummus. Hummus is the chickpea paste that we use as a dip for to put on. But humus is completely different. Humus is this earth, this rich soil, which is very dark, almost sometimes black, and it's full of nutrients. It's called friable, which means it crumbles in the hand. It's full of moisture. And this earth is the sustenance of life, this humus, because you put a seed in the humus and it will thrive. It will be very wholesome, full of nutrients, whatever is produced from this humus. So that's a wonderful analogy for us, because when the Bhakti Lata Beej, the seed of devotion, is put in this soil of humility, it will flourish. And any other soil that's put into and it will not be as strong creeper of devotion that we seek. So we have a quote from Prabhupada here. Beginning from practicing humility up to the point of realization of the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, this process is just like a staircase beginning from the ground floor and going up to the top floor. So the foundation of everything is humility, as it is in life on earth. The humus that we rely on for our nutrients. And this verse also, this very instructive verse from the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it gives this staircase, beginning from humility and going up to realization of the Absolute Truth. And it says that all these qualities that are listed, and there are 18 of them, the foundation of them all is humility, and that one who actually has knowledge will be humble. So in other words, one may exhibit degrees and have so much information in their minds, but if they're not humble, they have missed the point. They actually do not have knowledge, because the ability to acquire knowledge is coming from Krishna. And without that understanding, one is actually a fundamental principle. Prabhupada says, our disease is desire for that which is material. Even while advancing in spiritual life, we want material acclaim. One must be free from this disease. So the humble devotee means that that person accepts his or her lot in life. We're not envious of others. We're not overly ambitious materially. This is a quality of a humble devotee. And certainly, first and foremost, the devotee is full of remembrance of Krishna. So humility is not so much, I'm so fallen, I'm so insignificant, I, but it's the greatness of Krishna. I'm very small, Krishna is very great, inconceivable. His energies, his love, his gifts to me, to all of us, these things are inconceivable. And with that remembrance, naturally the devotee is humble. The other day we spoke about Jagadananda Pandit, when he cooked for Lord Chaitanya in this angry mood, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to him, even when you cook in an angry mood, your cooking is so wonderful. And Jagadananda Pandit replied, I simply collect the ingredients. He who is eating is also cooked. So in this way, the devotee attributes his or her abilities, intelligence, strength, all to Krishna. And with that Krishna-centered mentality, one is naturally humble. So we saw in Prabhupada that humility, always deferring to Krishna, to his spiritual master, in a very natural way. And indeed, pride is unnatural. The real natural position is to be humble, because the soul is very tiny, Krishna is very great. And with his humility, we saw so many other qualities, his Prabhupada's innocence, how he was always excited about Krishna consciousness, it was never hackneyed or stereotyped, and his ability to hear from others, to learn also, never stopped in that sense, being a student. So these are qualities of a humble soul. And it's glorious, it's exciting to see. And it's as natural as walking on the earth, let's say. The contradictory quality is pride. Pride is mentioned also by Krishna. He says, of the demoniac qualities, pride is considered the first of them. Pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance. So one who is proud is full of stress, always thinking, what is my position? How am I being respected? The humble person is free of these artificial anxieties. If I choose not to be humble, not to humble myself before what is greater than me, I am captured by what is less than me. Pride creates inner violence, because it's an attitude that contradicts our essence. Innately, actually, we are humble. So these are some thoughts. Also, the Lord himself responds to the humble. We see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every day, he would go to visit Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur took the position that because he came from a Muslim background, he should not go to the Jagannath temple. So Jagannath himself, in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, came to Haridas Thakur. So in this way, we'll read another quote from Prabhupada. Humility is the cause of proportionate spiritual realization by which one can ultimately meet God in person as a person meets another person face to face.
Wonderful.
And also another point to be considered is that it's not stereotyped. Sometimes we think of a humble person, oh, they're very quiet, they're in the back, looking down. But we see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very humble, and yet when Jagannath and Madhai were attacking Lord Nityananda, he came ready to kill them in his humility, ready to defend his devotees. And Prabhupada also, when there was talk of Mayavadi philosophy, oh my goodness, Prabhupada was like a lion. He would not tolerate that. So it's not a stereotype thing, this exhibition of humility. I'll leave you with one last thought. This one is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur recommends that we become humble by practicing the following meditation. The earth, which is always visible to me, is the expansion of the lotus feet of my Lord, who is always to be meditated upon. All moving and non-moving living beings have taken shelter of the earth and are thus sheltered by the lotus feet of my Lord. For this reason, I should respect every living being and not envy anyone. In fact, all living entities constitute the Kastuba gem on my Lord's chest. Therefore, I should never envy or deride any living entity. By practicing this meditation, one can achieve success in one's life.
Hare Krishna. We see that you have many more notes. Would you not share a few more?
It's so, too much.
It's so wonderful, really. So, may I ask, there was something when your pride, you're going to something which is less than yourself, and when you're humble, you're going to something which is greater to yourself. I thought this was a wonderful quotation.
If I choose not to humble myself before what is greater than me, I am captured by what is less than me.
Yeah, wonderful. 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 Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyati Shataine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gradha Shivasadi Gobhaktavinda Vansha Kalpataru Vaishcha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. I'm very, very elated and inspired to hear your excellent delivery, where you described humility from various perspectives and various, let me say, meanings of humility. That is very important. We have one spiritual quality. It's not possible to understand it really from one perspective alone. You have to use different perspectives in order to fully understand it. And therefore, this approach of defining, on showing what aspects are there in humility, that is very, very helpful in order to grasp it and fully understand it. I would like to use or focus in the brief time which we both have today in the morning on this one definition which Vishakha Prabhu has given already, that is dainyam, a feeling of wretchedness, a feeling of being fallen. Sanatana Goswami says, dainya makes a qualified person, even though he's qualified, bow down and feel wretched. In order to understand that in the right context, I would like to use the example of Maharaj Prataparudra, whom we saw yesterday in the theater or drama, he was definitely very qualified. He was very strong. He extended his Aryan empire very far and wide. There is one man who wrote down historical records at his time, and he said Maharaj Prataparudra would get up very early and do sadhana, spiritual practices, for a long time. And then he managed his huge state, which was the vast, very vast state, while riding on a horse in the morning, accompanied with his ministers. And they would, he was so sharp, so intelligent, so clever, that he would be able to make very fast decisions while also taking care of his bodily exercise, riding a horse. He was a genius. He was spiritually qualified, and he was materially qualified to rule this empire. Still, when it came to to approach the Supreme Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could understand these qualifications will not bring me very far. I need the mercy here. I can't just see him like I can see anyone else in my kingdom. Krishna, Krishna. I have to humble myself before him. Otherwise, this is not possible. You can only see the Lord if you give up your prideful position in this world and come down to the size 1/10,000th part of the tip of a hair, because that's the reality. That's who you are. He had many attempts to have the darshan of the Lord, and I will not go through these attempts for lack of time. But the Lord was not impressed. He did not wish to see him. There was one thing, however, which melted the heart of Lord Chaitanya. And this is highlighted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When the Lord saw that the king of the most powerful state at that time in India became a bangi, means a street sweeper, before Lord Jagannath, his heart just melted, and he made the decision to give him darshan at that time. Now, we are no longer living in that time, 500 plus years back, and we may need to understand what was the social position of a street sweeper. I wrote this down. He belonged to the lowest caste possible, the bangis, because he would touch with his devices the stool of everyone else. He would remove it from the open canalization. That had consequences when Prataparudra, Maharaj Prataparudra, was coming, that one Ratha, that Ratha Yatra, where Mahaprabhu saw him, and sweeping the streets. If you do a little research, you will find out that there was a marriage arrangement at that time made between the powerful master of Orissa and the powerful Nrisimha Rai, the king of South India. Nrisimha Rao had a beautiful daughter, and it was seen as advantageous to marry the daughter to Maharaj Prataparudra so that the two states would no longer be enemies, but rivals, but they would be connected through matrimonial ties. So to just, Nrisimha Rao told one of his ministers, find out what are the habits of these Orissian people. We cannot marry our daughter without knowing what is in the future coming, what is the culture, etc. And that minister came back and said, we have to stop all marriage arrangements. I saw with my own eyes the king to whom you wish to marry your qualified daughter get down and take a broom in his hand and sweep the streets. Oh, said Nrisimha Rao, we can't marry our princess to a street sweeper. That's not possible. And he wrote a letter and said, it is not possible to proceed with the marriage arrangement. Please excuse us. That was how is the act of that was the consequence politically of the of Maharaj Prataparudra becoming humble or developing and exhibiting, showing, you know, this quality of humility. It gained him the favor of the world, of the Lord. But the favor of the world, that was not there at that moment. By the way, he felt offended because he felt this is an offense against Lord Jagannath, not against me. And he conquered the South Indian kingdom. He was a powerful king. And he took a deity, which they worshipped, a Ganesh deity, and installed them in Puris. This was how he was enraged by this act. Anyways, just you need to see what this means. Humility is a quality which gains you the favor of the Lord. And even though the world may say, what has happened with our Suresh Patel, that he is so humble and so humbly dressed in a cheap cotton dhoti without a golden border. The world may not understand, but the Lord's mercy is powerfully attracted by this quality of humility. I would just like to now try to follow our highly intelligent Vishakha Mataji's Prabhu's analytical nature. I'm always asking myself, this is a thing in life which I have, how can I make this work for me? I am the son of an influential German director. How can I truly develop Dainya? I'm not very qualified for this position because in our family was a different culture, a different perspective. You have to assert yourself, show your value, son, etc. I heard a lot of this. So how can it arise in a real way? Of course, it's in ISKCON a little chic or fashionable to say, oh, I'm so please excuse my offenses, Prabhu. And we have a lot of lip service in our celebrated attempt for becoming Krishna consciousness, conscious. But how can you really come to this? Because only the real thing will attract Krishna, not the, well, maybe it's good to start with a display of an unrealized display of humility. But eventually, each one of us has to arrive at the real thing. So, from where does humility arise? Dainyam, where does it arise? This has been discussed by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It means, it arises, he says, from four sources. The first source is when you realize material life is suffering. It's not my real life. It is not the real thing. I'm suffering here. I'm suffering from birth, old age, disease, and death. You need to see that. And then you see all these things I have developed won't save me. It's not there. The second cause of dainyam is when you realize that you have committed an offense. First and foremost to Krishna. You have turned away from him. You have turned away from that one relationship. And you don't feel happy about this any longer. You feel actually, oops, I made a grave mistake. Aparadha is the Sanskrit word. The third cause for real dainyam is trasa. Trasa means something like fright. You're frightful. You're afraid. You feel, in fact, a little bit shocked. It has that no, that my life is like this. I will die one day, and it won't be very pleasant. Maybe I won't smile and eat sandesh and rasagula while I die. Maybe it will be a little intense. Oh, and then old age, your trasa, you have a sense of almost shock in yourself. It's the word, the way it's translated is terror and fright. And the fourth is laja. Laja is not so intense. It's you're ashamed of yourself. For so long, I actually identified with this body. For so long, I thought myself the doer while I'm just a... What is it called? I only know it in colloquial English. A ping pong ball in the hands of material nature. Ping pong, I don't know. I'm battered, I'm moved, I'm controlled by the material nature. And I, ridiculous fool as I am, I thought myself that I was very significant. Whew. And you are ashamed, laja, for this. So dainyam, I like the Chinese definition of humility. They say humility is a vision of reality. You are no longer deceiving yourself. You are no longer in illusion about the situation of soul who originally belongs to the spiritual domain. That soul confronts a situation totally compromised in the material world, in a false identity, in a false, in a temporary world, and so on. Yet he is so proud of his penny or his insignificant achievements. So dainyam, feeling wretched and fallen, requires of us a paradigmatic shift. Nothing less. What do you think, Manoram? That's a paradigmatic shift. How does this manifest into an external action? You know, we always say, words without actions are sheep. How does humility manifest in the world? This is the second question, and it is also answered in our tradition. I found it in one commentary on Brihad Bhagavatamrita. In that commentary, I found it is manifested in appeals to Krishna, like the many songs of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which are written from Dainyam, where he says, my Lord, Amar Jivan, my life, I'm wretched. I'm the saintly people, they know who I am. I find happiness when others whom I envy suffer, and I have all these qualities. But my Lord, please, in one song, Gopinath, he says, My mind is crazy. It's not under my control. I can't tell it what is the right path. It doesn't do it. But to me, Hrishikesha, you are the Lord of the mind and the senses. You please do this for me. Control my mind and my senses and bring me to you. It's a fervent appeal. You know, very serious, prayerful turning to the Lord. That is the first thing which a person who has real humility will do. Sometimes he is so much overwhelmed by this feeling that he is unable to think very clearly. He is just thinking, oh, where am I? Where am I? And where are you? And so on. He feels sorrowful and disheartened. It gives him pain. It's real. It's not just words, and so on. And so many other qualities are there. But I think the most important, and that's the first which is quoted, is when you are wanting this quality, you must turn to Krishna. He must and ask him to help. Now I know that this type of dainyam is not with many of us at the present moment. And a question is, of course, how will I develop it? And here I would like to, I do not know in which, where I said it. I traveled so much, maybe I said it here. It is seen that by acting, you are imbibing. When you act humble and not prideful, at that time you become influenced by that feeling, and it begins to take a seed, a seedling form in your heart. It's a seed. You think, oh, this is some, I acted now humbly. I think something entirely different, but I said, please excuse me, and I also acted humbly. I did, I wiped the floor of the temple at the end of the program, and you get a feeling, like a seed. And as I like this, what Vishakha Prabhu mentioned, the derivation of the word, it comes from humus. We have this word also in German, humus Erde, we say. Humus. It's the most fertile ground on which a seed can grow. So, my dear devotees, it comes back to the quality of respect. Dress yourself in respect, even if you don't feel this at the moment. But think while you are respectful and humble about it, and the seed will come in and start to grow, hopefully, into the real thing, into a plant of humility. And you should be willing to sow this seed. Why? Because it will, at the plant and the fruits of humility, that will attract the Lord. Don't you want the Lord? Of course, you want him. You know, they made this, I don't know, did I say it here? I'm getting mixed up with the places. Am I in America? I wake up and don't know where I am because I traveled this summer too fast and too quick. There was this research in Japan. They wanted to see how can they take the stress away from students who had to pass an examination. Because it's known, under stress, a person underperforms. Is that an English word? He underperforms. He doesn't really display the qualities he can, and the knowledge, it's not there. Maybe you have been in a situation where you were under stress and you didn't really say what you know, because you couldn't access it. So they wanted to help the students, and they found out that if the students are not stressed, if they are in some ways happy, then they can perform better. But how to make them happy when they had to pass an examination? Listen what they found out, the research workers. And I read a study. It's not just some esoteric or some Swami who doesn't know anything about science tries to talk scientifically and he then mixes it all up. That's what happens most of the time when I tried to speak scientifically. I read this in a study. It's not my invention or my interpretation. They found out if the students have a pen or twig or spoon, anything would do, in the mouth, which then makes the lips into the position of smiling. You know, that's what you do when you have something between the teeth. You make like this. Then the brain triggers and sends off a substance called serotonin, you've heard it. It's a happiness hormone. And then people are de-stressed and they write everything and it is good what they write and so on. So even, I want to give this as an example, even materially speaking, if you act as if, then something can come. This is, by the way, the whole program of Vaidhi Sarana Bhakti. You are practicing bhakti. It may not be there in your devotion. You go through the motions of artics and so on. And eventually you jumpstart your bhakti. Yeah? There's a whole idea of Rupa Goswami's sadhana. It's very psychologically rooted, but this comes at another time. Do something and then the real thing will come eventually when you do it in relationship to Krishna consciousness, because these practices have an inborn shakti, an inborn quality that can that is there, that these acts of bhakti have the bhakti shakti, and it will it will work on you, and there are many proofs in Jiva Goswami's Bhakti Sandhava. I know at this moment two, but not time is there. By acting as if you are humble, humility will one day enter your will sprout in your heart. But please let us not be a show movement which just is on the platform of acting. Turn already to Krishna and say, my dear Lord Krishna, I know you are impressed by Dhyanam. I need your mercy, and pray those prayers of our Bhaktivinoda Thakur, especially the Sharanagati prayers. There is a whole section on Dhyanam, the Dhyanam prayers, and you will see miracles unfolding in your life, because praying these Dhyanam prayers will make you really humble. Hare Krishna. So I want to stop 5 minutes before 9 and see if there are any questions to Vishakha Prabhu and myself. Please. We want to answer your question both. Would you like to answer first, me? Yes. The question is how to find the balance between humility on one side and confidence, which is another very important quality stated by Rupa Goswami. Nectar of instruction. It is important, very important. Well, I want to answer it by quoting Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. I found he had expressed it really nice, because yes, there is this fear that humility is just taking the humble role and eventually developing what is called a minority complex. And being totally blocked in your life. He said, humility does not mean to think less of yourself, but it means to think of yourself less. Don't think so much. Vishakha said it also. Not I. Think of Krishna, what he can do through you as an instrument. I have seen very humble devotees doing amazing things as an instrument of Krishna. I saw this with Srila Prabhupada. If you look at the new movie, Hare Krishna, the movement, and the Swami who started it all, something like that. I'm very forgetful, but something like, what's it called, Hare Krishna?
The
Hare Krishna, the mantra, the movement, and the Swami who started it all. You will find Prabhupada really being, what can I do? He said, what did he say in his arrival prayer? How will I make them understand? Really, really wretched. But then you see a scene where Prabhupada says something wonderful. Vishakha, would you do us the favor to repeat this, where he goes in Melbourne, roar, like a lion?
Yeah, he was speaking in the town hall in Melbourne, and very forcefully he was saying, pointing each time, why do you have to accept birth? Why do you have to accept disease? Why do you have to accept old age? Why do you have to accept death? These are the problems, and these problems can be solved in the human form of life.
Very strongly! He took on a whole hall, with a finger. You should see, maybe you have seen this movie, but there were so many beautiful scenes. This scene, Gokrishna myself saw it in America, in Hillsboro, or whatever it's called. We were shaking on our seats. You remember? There was a black and white image. Yes, I would like to turn this question over also to what would you say about, because I find out many devotees, when they hear about humility, they are not very comfortable with this because they think it might be dangerous and then I won't be able to to move forward with confidence.
I very much appreciate your response, but I would add perhaps the analogy of the child and the parents, that by the little child has no confidence, that it doesn't know where to go, what to say, but when they hold the hand of the father and mother, then they can proceed and do so much, you know, that kind of support and feeling the presence of their parents there. So in the same way, we're very small, very little ability, but if we grab hold of the parampara, the instructions of the Lord, then we can feel some genuine confidence.
Yeah.
Whereas the confidence in the material sense is like sand through the fingers, it has no actual substance.
Thank you very much. Time is also there, and please, my dear MCs, recognize we are ending really at 9:01. This is a great achievement in my Hare Krishna. I'm thanking you all very much, and let us turn the microphone over to our MCs now. Hare Krishna.